Good morning, church. Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for giving me a word to share. May you open our hearts to receive and open our eyes to know more about you. And change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please turn to Acts chapter 9. We'll read from verse 1 to 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 31. It's about the conversion of Saul. Now, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciple of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice sing to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to you, O saints, at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show you how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who call on his name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who live at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. His disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. So, well, you know the background is about conversion of soul. And I come back to this scripture again. I've been talking about this for the past few times. Partly because our house church did a couple of Bible studies on this. And we had quite a few discussions, and it was very rich. And each time we discuss it, we have a different angle to it. So I thought I would just share some of the things we learned together as a house church, and some of our research we did together. So quite a few of these ideas, not from me, it's actually from our house church and the research. This passage about the conversion soul relates a lot to the baptism service we had last month. The reason I said that, because it really help us to see that as a new Christian, what kind of changes we could experience if we look at soul as a conversion as an example, and how brother and sister could come alongside them to support new Christians. For example, like Barnabas. But anyway, I'll pick out some points from the verses. So the first point I would draw out relate to new Christians is their new life and new needs. And what I'll say about that is, I don't know if you remember how you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the chances that it's probably not as dramatic as what Saul did in encountering Jesus as a bright light from heaven that blinded him. But it showed that from Saul's interactions with God from that moment onwards is quite different. So from verse 11, well, actually, maybe I'll start from verse 10. I'll just read again, verse 10 to 12. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. Inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." So at the end of verse 11, he said, "Saul," well, "for he is praying." He, referring to Saul is praying. And I would say that after we became a Christian, we see Jesus, one of the new changes in life is we pray. And this time when I say we pray is slightly different, because here we see that it's a two-way conversation, that Saul is listening and also talking to God. In the past, when we become Christian, we might just trying to talk to God and say all the things we need. But after we become a Christian, one of the first changes in our new life is we pray to God in a two-way conversation. And that's my first point. New life as a Christian is we pray. The second point I'll say as a new Christian is that we have new purpose in life. We have new purpose in life. Return to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the son of Israel.'" And I would say that it's not just Saul who is a chosen instrument of God to bear his name before Gentiles or the Jews, but we, like all of you and I, are God's children and are called to be his witness and instruments. We know the Great Commission, and our purpose has really changed from self or perhaps earthly focus to God-centered purpose for living. So I would say that the second point is, as a new Christian, we have new purpose. The third point from the passage, as a new Christian, we have a new burden. We have a new burden. Verse 16, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Again, I generalize it to apply to all Christians as well. The Bible promised there's a cost in following Jesus. Suffering and persecution and sacrifice. We may not suffer in any way or as fraction like what Saul has suffered in the books of Acts about being stoned and hunger, sleepless and shipwrecks and all these things. But we do have a new burden for Christ. And the amazing thing is that it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And in Paul's words, it's actually incomparable to our suffering. It's incomparable to the eternal glory with Christ. The fourth point, as a new Christian, we have a new power. We have new power. So if we read verse 17, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Yes, where does this new power come from? From the Holy Spirit within us. Quite often, as Christians, we continue to follow the old way of life, struggle with bad habits, struggle with things, and we don't often wake up to the fact that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we really just need to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be released so that we can live victoriously. So here in verse 17, we see how Ananias exercised this power by laying on his hand to heal Saul. And I would say again, yes, you have the power, every single one of you here who knows Jesus. The fifth point, as a new Christian, rather than talk about the new life and new purpose, I'll have a different focus. As a new Christian, we have a need for fellowship. We have a need for fellowship. So verse 19 reads, "And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus." As Christians, we need to have fellowship with Christ through perhaps communion we had recently, as our food every day, so that we may be strengthened. The fellowship with Jesus is our daily bread, and we all know that. And we all know that how easy we can walk in darkness or walk away from light when we don't spend time with Jesus. And also, we also need fellowship with other followers of Jesus to show us how to lead a Christian life, how to support one another, to exercise the power of the gifts that he's given us, to also nurture our love, our neighbor's heart for one another as well. So without fellowship with God, we don't have the strength, and without the community, we cannot really love or experience love. So fellowship, as we see in verse 19, that our soul spend time with God and spend time with the disciple is a key source of his strength and key source of our strength every day. My sixth point, yes, it's very quick. As new Christians, we need the Word of God. Verse 22. I'll explain how I got that. Verse 22 reads, "But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who live in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ." How do you think that Saul was kept increasing in strength and in proving Jesus is the Christ? Okay, we talk about he has fellowship with God, but to prove Jesus is the Christ, he also need to have God's word, the scripture, in his heart. And in those days, very often they used the Bible to really look at different scripture to refer that Jesus is the Christ. So it's in some way... to know the scripture really help us to share the word of God, to strengthen us, and to give a reason for the hope that we have to others as well. And the last point, the seventh point, as new Christians, we need to be humble and depend on others. And I took that from verse 26 to 28. We need to be humble and depend on others. So verse 26 reads, "When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord." Without Saul allowing Barnabas to stand in the gap and speaking on his behalf, it would have been very difficult to convince others that he is a disciple of Jesus, no matter what he does and what he say. So even like Saul was like Pharisee, right? And for the conversion that he had, amazing conversion he had, he needed others to stand in the gap for him. And so much more do we as Christians, we need others to stand in the gaps for us, that we need to be humble to receive others, to support us, and we also need to depend on others, and that is something Christianly as well. I know there are a lot here with 7 points, and okay, that's already 20 minutes. So may I invite the worship, Pastor Pinay, to come up. I encourage you to take a moment to think about these four aspects of Christian living and the three needs new Christians have. They really apply to all of us Christians, not just the new ones. The new prayer life, the new purpose of living, the new burden for Christ, the new power we have in Jesus, as well as the need of fellowship, the need of God's word, the need for humility. So please take a moment to ask God, is there a particular area that you have lost the fire in prayer life, in purpose as God's instrument? Do you feel that it's costing you to follow Jesus? Does it cost you to follow Jesus, or is it very convenient? Have you lost touch with the power of the Holy Spirit? Or is it fellowship with God or people that's been weaker than what you need in your life? Or is it God's word? Or is it humility that you don't realize you have false humility? What is your need at the moment? Ask him to reveal that to you and how to go about reigniting this fire again.
All because of your love and my soul. Jesus, it's all because of you, Jesus, it's all because of you. Because of you, Jesus, it's all. Because of you, Jesus, it's all. Because of your love that my soul will live. And oh, to be like you, I give all I have just to know. Jesus, there's no one beside you. Forever the hope in my heart.
Yes, Lord Jesus, because of you, we have all these new and great things. We are so grateful, and we thank you that all this time, even before you, before we know you, you've been drawing us closer to you. And after after our conversion and commitment to you, we could be even closer to you. Please help us to take the next step forward so that we could be more like you and fulfill the calling, the purpose, the life that you have destined us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn to our community prayer. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer. Let's contend for them. And many of them has been here for quite a while. So let's pray that cancer no more, that God's miraculous power that he has given us, we do have this power, that he will heal them, Lord God. Let's pray for the new purpose, the new burden for Jesus, the new purpose of living for every single one of these who have yet to know Jesus and who is also suffering from illness as well. Let's continue to contend for those who are suffering from a range of illnesses. And I'll highlight Fabi at the bottom of the list. She's one of our partners in missions and outreach. And the growth is actually tumor as well. Let's continue to pray for our brothers here who are seeking jobs. Let's pray for God's guidance and provisions. Today, let's pray for China. Let's pray for our plants in Beijing and Sinhon with the P. Ricky and P. Hansu. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, the churches in China. Let's pray for the board members, and in the summer there's quite a few of them, and their families go on vacation. Pray for them to have a great time and God's protection from any accidents, anything. This weekend, the Young Adult Ministry has night or evening praise and worship up the peak, as well as single life workshop retreat. Pray for a powerful Holy Spirit encounter. Pray for freedom. Pray for everyone to encounter God and be transformed. Pray also for the men's ministries that continue with our Monday prayer and the weekly pure desire, that God is the key desire. And pray also for the women's ministry, coverings, and as they are planned and prepared for the women's retreat next year. We know that this building is not our permanent home. We know that God has a better, greater plan for us. Let's pray for God's release of this building, and that continue to bless the benefactor, whoever that might be, and that everyone in SP catch the vision. Lastly, let's continue to lift up Hong Kong. there's still lots of divisions, and within the family, despite and lots of protests, a bit like a guerrilla kind of warfare kind of protest as well. Let's pray for God to reign in Hong Kong, that His will be done, and people will come and turn to God and to know Him, that He is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Lord God, we thank You so much that You've called us to be here this morning to seek You first and to be able to pray together corporately. Will You continue to open our eyes to see what You're doing in our midst throughout the day, and that we trust that You, Your Spirit's leading and prompting, will guide us and prompt us to follow You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, please continue to have good personal prayer time, and see you tomorrow.